Today's daf Maseches Erev in Daf Pei Aleph. There's a halacha tam the mission that runs from the bottom of Amud Aleph to the top of Amud Beis, which is that Ein Ma'arvin La'adam Shalom Midaito. We can only establish an Erev for someone else with their knowledge. We can't do it if they don't know that it's happening. Rabbi Yehuda clarifies that this principle is true primarily for the Eruv of extending someone's Tchum Shabbos, the Shabbos boundary. The reason why is due to the principle that the Mishnah lists, Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, lo chavin la'adam shelo b'fanav. We can only do something on behalf of somebody else. We can only enact a halachic establishment, a halachic reality on behalf of somebody else if it's actually going to benefit them. We have to be able to know that what I'm going to do for somebody else is actually going to be good for them. If it's not going to be good for them, if it's a chol for them, then I'm not permitted to do so. When it comes to the Tchum, the boundary of Shabbos, we spent many adapim learning that once a person decides which direction they're extending their Tchum, they're going to lose the ability to travel in the opposite direction, which means if I set it up for somebody else, they might want to go in the other direction. What have I done to them? I've limited them in their space, in the area where they can go. So I can't go ahead and set up an Erev Tchum, an extension Erev Tchum for someone without their knowledge. However, when it comes to Erev Chatzeros and Shulchan Aruch bringing Shin Samach Vav Sif Yud, that shituf mevos, the joining of alleyways, as well, one does not need to inform all the residents about the eruvs. It's good for them. You don't need to ask them. It works because of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. It's to their benefit. We can do it without their knowledge. Comes the Ritva and adds a limitation. He says that this rule works generally speaking. However, aval shama v'tzavach meikar lo zachulo. What's happening? You hear the person's yelling and says, "I don't want to have anything to do with this eruv. I don't want to be part of it." Then we're not able to. The Prima Gadim brings in Shin Samach Zayin. Eshel Avram, Sif Katan Gimel, he brings, V'yeshom Rdei Mizakin La'adam Baal Korchan. We can't force it against a person who says, "I don't want," specifically, explicitly says, "I don't want." You can't. You can't force it. So there's another angle of this based on the Rashba. In Kiddushin Chav Gimel Med Aleph, the Sholem Eshi brings this in Tanyana Pechelik Beis Simach, Simen Samach Beis. He discusses the Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch is in Shin Pei Aleph, that in a place where someone does not agree with the concept of Eruv, which is a point we've had many times in Maseches Eruvin already, this concept of somebody, the Tzedukim we had and others. So no Eruv can be made in that case, says the Shulchan Aruch, and they have to, and everybody else, in order to be able to carry there, they're going to have to renounce their domain. So it's a bitul rishus. However, the Rashba has a concept that when there's an objective schus, he calls it a schus gamor. We know for a fact this is a benefit for this person. Then zachin afilu bar korcha, says the Rashba. You can do this, you can set up this halachic reality even against their will. So if the guy's yelling, "I don't want the Erev to go through," we still let the Erev go through because of the schuz gamar. The language of the Sholem Meshiv is very instructive in this case. The Sholem Meshiv says like this, "In mo'il af im haya omid v'tzavach she'ina rotze." Then that's the case. But ubi frech le'yachol b'akshuso le'asor l'achirin. Hey, the person's just being stubborn, just doesn't want it. You can't just do that as a stubborn thing to cause other people to lose out. On the flip side, Rabbi Simon brings in Emei Baruch, page Kuf Tzadik, from Rabbi Shalom Eliakim Getzel Berkovitz, one of the Dayanim in Kiryas Yo'el, two points that he makes there. First of all, the Rashba, the Shalom Meshiv is bringing, is only talking about you can do something against somebody's will only when the Baal Schus is there. The person who stands to gain, stands to benefit, has to be standing in front of you if you're going to force them to be part of it. Which means, in case in Kiddushin, for example, it's talking about an Eved. So you're freeing the Eved, you're giving him this document that frees him, and now he can go and marry a non-slave. Now he becomes fully Jewish. So it's clearly something that's to his benefit. Otherwise, the person's not standing there. Maybe we can't force ischus on someone. The second point he makes, it really has to be a vada ischus gamor. Beyond, for sure, 100%, without any possible way to say this can't be beneficial, this person, when we're talking about a city Eru, for example, there could actually be a possible Rishus Rabim Doraisa. It's like a public domain that could actually ruin the whole Eru. So we can't force a schus in that case either. Finally, Rabbi Simon quotes from Eliezer Lipa, Levi Miller from Kol Choshem Mishman and Spinka, essentially bases the allowance for forcing the establishment of the Eruv as being based on the fact that Eruv Chatzeros is really rabbinic in nature, and therefore, we have one standard for Chazal's institution can force this. There's also a Musar point here about being a community member. You're welcome to take on a personal practice that may be a Chumrah, but it shouldn't bring down everybody else's ability to utilize a legitimate halachic principle.